Now, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wherever you find yourself, guys, sorry for that. Wherever you find yourself, dear listeners, I hope you have enjoyed the Africa Day celebrations, or just just the occasional off day. And well, May is known for its cluster of holidays, but nonetheless, it should be there in order to effect one or other kind of, just day of remembrance in terms of this beautiful continent we find ourselves on. Now, for tonight's discussion here on the Business and Economic Zone, guys, we're going to be taking a little bit of a closer look locally here at Namibia. And this is with regards to a specific sector within the agricultural sector, for that matter. Now, in that same sense, it's pretty, it's not pretty. It's quite an interesting picture, because this is born out of our discussion for tonight. Our discussion for tonight, let me just stress that, is born out of an interesting statistic. Even though it's as of 2020, not 2021, as of 2020, is that Meatco, the Meat Corporation of Namibia, indicated at a Halal Nafiti, occasion or public discussion platform, that Namibia's cattle population is equivalent to the country's population as of 2020 statistics, their statistics. 1.4 million of that is concentrated above the red line in all the regions in a straight line. That's now minus Kunene. All the regions in a straight line above the red line, has 1.4 million head of cattle. Below the red line, that's now the rest of the country, the other 90% of the country, there's a concentration of 900,000, to be exact. 900,000. Now, in the article of yesterday's The Villager e-paper platform, when my colleague Menua Erastus, depicts a very beautiful picture. The picture has, as you can see, two halves, or two pictures, or two scenarios. It's one overall picture, meaning Namibia, but it has two scenarios. In that scenario, it's reported that Meatco, who has done their own assessment in terms of, tapping into this treasure trove, this potential market of 1.4 million head of cattle that is above the red line, is that unfortunately they have seen themselves inconsistent supply. Now, guys, what is important is, and I think a lot of you would have already deducted, derived, extracted, concluded, developed a summary of the various discussions here on the Business and Economic Zone that we have here on Eagle FM, even on the brand conversation, in terms of where we also incorporate various supply and demand discussion points, is that in order for an industry to look healthy, in order for an industry to be to be sustainable, to be viable, someone has to supply something that has to be bought, that has to be processed, and that has to be, sold further. Someone has to supply something for someone else who buys that something to process, right? It can be further manufacturing, it can be further processing, it can be, directly selling it on, or directly selling it off, or directly exporting it, or directly shipping it somewhere. But all in all, there's a willing buyer, but the scenario that they indicated, and that's, in terms of discussion point that we have there on the Village e-paper platform, is that there's been inconsistent supply of cattle to various abattoirs, for that matter, in order to be sold and also to be marketed. Remember, there's an important factor within agriculture, and that being agricultural marketing. Agricultural marketing, as mentioned, usually is contained at some places like agricultural auctions, various other platforms where buyers and sellers come together to sell their produce. Well, your produce can also be your livestock. Remember that, guys. So, in that same sense, that would mean that there might be a sentiment. There might be a sentiment. There might be a negative producer perspective or perception that the that Meatco themselves have encountered. Now, what might that have been, you might ask me? Well, contained in the article is that the cattle is mostly reared, is mostly herded, is mostly kept for status, or, you know, for status. It's not to say I want to sell, to buy and sell, experiment a little bit, manage stock levels or, you know, cattle level. No, it's supposedly kept for status. Status. Really? Status? Now, for all the times and in terms of all the perspectives that we've had, you know, what's the guy's name? Mr. Jason Mvula from the Namibia Northern Farmers Union, the NNFU, those guys, where he noted that there is potential for farmers, not farmers, but also that there are those farmers willing, or those cattle herders, or those, you know, those cattle barons that want to tap into lucrative international markets and also see their meat being exported, also see their produce, their livestock being traded into the, one of those very lucrative markets internationally that Namibia has, that Namibia has access. Now, the other point also is that, and this is unfortunately the natural circumstances that have taken place. You know, you can only do that much in order to mitigate certain functions, certain occurrences, certain aspects, that being the foot and mouth disease control zones or restricted zones. That's the unfortunate case. But a question would still be, in terms of the assessment that has been done by one of the market players or one of the market operators for meat in Namibia, and it's an SOE, what they detected was that it was based upon status, that the reason why there is so much cattle above the red line. And remember, this is still based upon, what, a year and a half ago's statistics? It could have doubled by now. It could have still be, you know, stabilized, have been stable at the same rate or at the same size. But 1.4 million head of cattle? Guys, in something like 10 or 15% of the country's surface area, 1.4 million cattle? That's a lot. That's a lot. And just 2-3 weeks back, or no, 2 weeks back, I had the discussion here on the Business Economic Zone with regards to the observations that I've seen in terms of, you know, meat prices that have sort of like skyrocketed between Jan and March, up to April even. And it was born out of economic, you know, economic analysts here in Windhoek who have themselves noted and have done their own analysis with regards to, as it March? Yeah, with regards to March, based upon the meat supply.
Kukurukana yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika no mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Rambangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuirugana maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo guanakuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, tatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, coming back, guys, the discussion was born out of that. The prices, I've seen the reason for the one of the reasons for the prices in terms of the price increases in meat for the past few months from the beginning of this year have been based upon South Africa buying, taking up, being the preferred destination for business. And that's based upon most of the farmers' activity below the red line, meaning the 80% of the country this way. Now remember, the lucrative markets are locally, South Africa, China, the USA, Norway, or let's just put Norway under Europe. Let's just do that. Let's just put Norway under Europe. Five very lucrative markets. Five. Now, I mentioned that there are the foot and mouth, the foot and mouth zones that have been established above the red line, which is technically all the regions above the red line. And as I mentioned, it's understandable. It is natural in terms of that those areas do have a susceptibility to foot and mouth outbreaks. It's understandable. It is understandable, guys. It truly is. But let me just, paraphrase, quote, word for word, in terms of one of the reasons why they noted, especially for MeatGo, why they noted, one of the reasons why the cattle is not being sold so quickly or is not being accessed as quickly in terms of a business. Now, as mentioned, MeatGo revealed these figures in terms of the statement with regards to 2.5 million head of cattle in the country during a presentation that they had for the Namibia Angola Business Forum that was held at Nelau Hafidi last week. According to the data from MeatGo itself, that's 1.4 million above the red line. And that this is within the designated foot and mouth protection zone. Now, they also noted that below the red line, where the other 913,000 head of cattle are concentrated in terms of the total market access that MeatGo can have, is that most of the commercial activities are being contained in that sense. Now they note, MeatGo notes, that commercial activities are viable above the red line, meaning for the, where the 1.4 million head of cattle are, commercial activities are viable. They are feasible. And that the Zambezi region, approximately 200,000, is contained within the Zambezi region. Now, I would put the Zambezi region with everyone, with everyone above the red line, especially because it's a clear designation. Far north and northeast, clearly. They fall within the same, the grouping. Now, in terms of access to market, as mentioned, they were the top, the markets that I mentioned. But, MeatGo's reason for indicating the poor economic performance or the poor business environment is that despite the occasional appearance of foot and mouth and the availability of quarantine facilities, that the northern producers kept their animals for status. And, as mentioned, that These northern producers also failed to supply their abattoirs consistently, like I mentioned. Now, my question is, we've had all these discussions, even with the various, you know, constituency councillors when the foot and mouth first broke out. I think it was the Oshana region? But it was one of the first regions before it headed west. And then Zambezi was then the next one to incur another foot and mouth outbreak. And in that same regard, we spoke to various people, even Zambezi's regional governor, in terms of the foot and mouth outbreak, and also the various veterinary representatives from the Ministry of Agriculture, who all of them noted, you know, that there were processes, there were, quarantining, there was quarantining taking place. People were advised not to move their livestock back and forth from a area that had been designated to have had an infection to those that are clear of any infection, so that no contamination takes place. And all those exercises have been done. But the question still comes in. If the major entity, the guy whose business it is to deal in livestock, in meat supply, whether locally or internationally, notes that local producers are keeping cattle for status symbols, there might be a disconnect there somewhere. There really might be a disconnect, guys, because I'm trying to understand why. I mean, obviously, you're being paid. If you go and sell 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 head of cattle, I don't know, guys, I'm not a farmer. This is just a hypothetical, you know, scenario. If you go sell, a handful of cattle for some money, that would mean you either reinvest it or you use it for some other activity. But you would still have cattle left, right? It's not to say that you're actually selling off your entire herd. Not like the situations that have happened with the 5-year drought that Namibia had sustained, where so many of the southern farmers really had to sell off almost their entire herds. And that was one of the messages, one of the invites coming from the likes of Meatco and various other meat processing entities, who are noting, sell to us. We can, let us help you. All that is contained, guys, in just a Google search you can run in terms of back then, how Meatco themselves made a cry to the meat producers across the country by telling them, sell to us. We will buy it. Obviously, you can't get the best price, but it will be a price determined upon the current market scenario, the current market dynamics. And obviously, a drought is just one of those said natural occurring events. It's almost similar to like an act of God. You can't control a drought. You technically can't mitigate a drought even, because it's based upon your rain season, your rainfall. Your rainfall begins and develops somewhere else, in another country. Your rainfall doesn't occur in your country. It doesn't develop in your country. It starts off somewhere else. And I've heard of the wild discussions in terms of, you know, how people can try and mitigate poor rainy seasons by trying, you know, using various types of techniques and methods to try and, what do they call it? Not coerce, but more like force rain to drop. Ah, guys, I haven't seen it in order to believe it. I've only seen simulations or rendering. Rendering is like showing you what it can look like. But I haven't seen it in reality. Now, if we've got this very basic dilemma that exists here, it then paints another picture. A truly does. Because it brings another discussion point to the front with regards to, you know, why then? Why would people then continue with the status discussion? Why would they continue keeping cattle in such a small space of area? Yeah, guys. Above the red line, you just have to look at your Namibian map. Just do a basic geography inspection. Just go look at your map. And you'll see where the red line runs. And you include the Zambezi region into it. It's a pretty small space to have 1.4 million head of cattle. 1.4 million! It's too small. Now, because there was not consistent supply, because there was not consistent, you know, agro-marketing or livestock marketing taking place, most of the northern abattoirs have not been consistently slaughtering. Or are just not efficiently operating. So inconsistent supply obviously will hamper consistent productivity for any abattoir. For any abattoir. Guys, so many people have said, I've been to a it was a public platform discussion, I think it was 2018 or 2019. Yeah, it was 2019, sorry, 2019, where a farmer that was invited for that session, it was held at NUST. So it was this farmer, but he was a representative from another type of agricultural entity, which is like a cluster of that has members in terms of other farmers and so on. Then there was a ministerial representative, and then there was a third person as well. And it was sort of like a panel discussion, but it was held in one of the auditoriums there at, or auditoria there at NUST. So I attended the session in order to see what it's all about. And the farmer, the guy that was invited, he was the most honest speaking member. He said, there is money in agriculture. There is money. And it's not about saying it's money to access. It's money that you can make. It's business that you can make. It's business that you can make. Now, the abattoir is there for further business generation. So the abattoir would buy. The abattoir would then process, slaughter and process, and then sell off or sell off directly. Now, if one of Namibia's biggest, you know, agricultural entities like Meatco comes and says inconsistent supply from producer leads to inconsistent productivity at the abattoirs, leads to supplies, drop in supplies from specific abattoirs. Guys, I don't know how to draw this picture, but it puts a strain on other abattoirs. Remember that you need, if you are developing a channel, and I'm depicting back to channel, because I can see the channel. I can see the channel. The channel is there to benefit. The channel is not there for the fun of it. It's there to benefit. The channel sees directly link the producer to the market. Embed a middleman because the overall facilitator is someone like Meatco. So Meatco runs the facilitation, but Meatco is also in charge of doing the processing, the buying, the selling, the marketing. But now if you've got a processor that a producer that's not coming to the party, how then will you be able to sustain market supply? How? Now, we're quickly heading into our next ad break. From that ad break, guys, we'll be coming right back. And then we head into the last leg or the second half of this evening's discussion on the Business and Economic Zone here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
so to
not
speak.
The front.
Titanium, the perfect fit between NHP Platinum and Premier Member Centric Medical Aid Fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back, guys, and where we left off with our discussion was based upon, you know, just certain aspects being highlighted within our discussion. Now, I ended off just before the ad break with, you know, that the channel is experiencing strain. That's according to Mitko. You can summarize it like that. You can conclude it in that sense. There's a strain. It's not a strain as in terms of to say that you don't see any meat supply in your local retailers or in your shops. No. It's a strain in the sense of that there's more sort of like emphasis placed on the southern farmer, the southern producers, those below the red line, those below, because they are the ones servicing most of the international markets and locally. They are the ones servicing most of the international markets and locally. So, producers with that have 913,000 head of cattle are carrying, developing, and consistently supplying. Now, you might say, well, Dwight, it's perhaps a notion of that not everyone is getting the same deal. Well, yes, that's business. It happens. You might find a standardized template in terms of what the price ranges might be, but it's up to you, the producer on the ground, to generate and produce the best quality meat that you can find. Is it not? It's not just about letting the cattle walk just there anyway, letting them roam for free, calling it free-range cattle. Well, that's what it's supposed to be. Cattle do walk around outside. But the aspect of the strain, the pressure, the emphasis, the carrying capacity, only being concentrated on 913,000 head of cattle for possible supply, resupply, and so forth, is a bit heavy. It is a bit heavy. Now, specifically in this article from last night, there are specifics that are being displayed as well in terms of offtakes and, what can be sold off into the market. So the entire southern part, the southern side of the red line, has 237 out of that 913,000. 237,000 out of that 913,000 available as an offtake, you know. Every year, they can supply 237,000 per year. That is the quota they can supply. The southern livestock farmers currently, or producers, have access to sell their beef to 10 markets globally. 10 markets! Even Hong Kong, which is part of China, is a market. Now understand, guys, the northern producers, have only 137. 10% of that 1.4 million. 10% is what they can supply out of 1.4 million. 10%. Now, the question might be that exists there. Why? Why would you only supply 10%? Is it a question of that there's too many producers? Is it a question of that there's perhaps some guys that just feel like they, you know, they want to contain and maintain and see how far their herds can go? Is it questions like that? Is it discussion points like that? Now, as part of those northern producers as well, in between there is also that the northern FMD protected zones has no access to a market or any other market, rather than the northern, which is all the communal areas, as their beef is not allowed to cross the red line. And it's also not to be exported unless it goes through quarantine and other procedures. Now, further on to that is also that these statistics coming out from this presentation that Meatco did is that their assessment also indicates that the protected zones, that FMD protected zone, livestock producers, can potentially sell beyond the north and or export as well to around even 7 markets. Mainly in Africa, which contains about 5 countries for that, but for that market, which is technically 5 markets on their own, and the Middle East and Asia. But then the question would be, when? Why not now? What is, you know, what's the situation? However, the reason given here is that it's squarely placed on policymakers and producers to solve current impediments. Current impediments. And also to find a way of countering the outbreaks of FMD. And then, subsequently, ensure that consistent supply constantly takes place. Consistently takes place. Consistently. Now you've got, now you get the opposite. Now remember I mentioned the FMD protected. Now you get the FMD infected. This is predominantly the entire Zambezi. The entire Zambezi. Predominantly. Well, let me stick to predominantly and not use entirely. Let me say predominantly the Zambezi region. Because they only have an uptake of 23,000. Now remember, they themselves, the Zambezi region, has 230,000 head of cattle concentrated in that small space, in that small area. They can supply 23,000 per year, which is 10% of the overall population, cattle population. Still a bit small, but I understand. I truly understand. It's at a 10% rate because it's similar to what the guys for the entire South almost do. Well, let me say that, yeah. Well, the guys from the South technically are more than 10% because their 10% would have been at 90,000. So they are standing probably at about 18, 19%. Of supply from their cattle population. It seems impressive, but you look at the carrying capacity. It puts a strain. It's a pressure. It's pressure that exists there. But, let's understand this as well, guys. Let's understand this as well. Meatco is not the only entity in the country that buys meat. And they can slaughter meat and they can process meat. They're not. They're the one owned by government as part of Act. They're the only one. But you get private ones as well. It's a breakaway one that was, I don't know if it was, yeah, it was formally set up. The guys that were also part of Meatco that broke away. And those producers, remember, those producers left from supplying, you know, their own supplying to Meatco. So that would mean these numbers, which were based on 2020 statistics, would indicate as to why it's only based upon 2020 statistics. It could mean that the picture currently would be a lot more different. That being for the southern producers. That just being for the southern producers. Now, the supposed plan in order to mainstream the northern communal producers of more than a million cattle, who have more than a million cattle, is to depend on implementing a commodity-based trading approach, a CBT. Now, CBTs describes standards, guidelines, and procedures that have to be applied in order to facilitate a safe trade of meat and meat products. It's used to communicate standards, guidelines, and procedures in order that needs to be applied in the facilitation of safe trading of meat and meat products. That will then lead to the eventual trade of meat and meat products, or movement of these meat and meat products from foot and mouth disease protection zones and infected zones in the NCAs. Now, the assessments done upon the NCAs indicates that there's about a 40% market availability for the NCAs, for the northern producers. There's a 40% market availability. That's more than, that's enough. That's good stuff. That's based upon their assessments. But you also have to understand that most of this beef is consumed in the formal market, which is imported from the southern side of the red line. So the southern producers carry most of the production capability for the whole country, meaning they can supply the whole country. Now, that's also despite there being still a directive restricting the practice, this practice, in terms of, you know, the supply taking place. So, in a sense, clarity would be one of the easiest ways that you can point towards by saying, well, listen, let's try and clear up the scenario. Let's try and find a clear path, a clear direction, a clear goal, a clear objective to get to. But if you do leave things up to policymakers and producers alike with regards to sorting out the current impediments, FMD, that will then subsequently lead to consistent supply of meat and meat products, that won't be anytime soon. It might be. I mean, it has not been stressed as yet. In terms of what the research that has been indicated in this article points to, whether there is some forms of, you know,
Paratus Mobile LTE, everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $100 Namibian per month, including VAT for prepaid, or $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Hello, Namibia. Indira pamenate muyuni walela pay. Lela pay onkaro ompu woma futiro no kuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatovuru okutuminako omatumara kagoe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi notaga dhanwa no kutuma mombepo esimbo ojo tunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lela pay. Otovuru okutura omatumara kagoe mombepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pay nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya gwedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumara kagoe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumara kagorukozi, omatumara kagomahio, omatumara kagomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, nomatumara kagokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseifere oshigwana ashikesho mo Namibia, okuza owarapo dorandatu ni thiringa itano metumara kagehe. Lela pay oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko lela pay ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae oshari eto turamo omaothemba goe. Inda ko kanjato koe kimariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo omaothemba goe hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge ovendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto thindi mpoka pashangwa send utume. Shamba atumu etumaraka joe otari turu ako Eagle FM imba lela pay nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono raketa tuimwe mbarinora ndatongoi hamano ndatu ndatu nenge kono raketa tuimwe ndatu mbari hetatu 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 ne nonora yeriari. Lela pay yimo nena nena tai avika ko App Store noko Google Play Store.
Now we come back, guys, and just where we left off. You know, the potential is there. The opportunity already exists. But it doesn't matter in terms of, doesn't matter how much, you know, I can describe the situation and you know, place it on a pedestal and praise that we have all this capability within our borders, within our current meat market, but it's not being tapped. It's not being accessed. It's not being consistently, you know, supported, if I can use the phrase supported, because obviously this major operator within the meat market indicated that there is some sort of disconnect. But they indicate that there is an inconsistent supply, which is a second disconnect, an inconsistent supply, which leads to inconsistent productivity. But then the questions would be, what should be done further? I mean, you can't leave things up to policymakers and producers to solve out the current impediments only. The one solution, yeah, sure, it sounds good. It sounds like something that can happen in the short, like current, like that can start kicking off from now for the CBT, the commodity-based trading approach that helps with standards, guidelines, and procedures. And this is all to do with the animal husbandry element before it gets sold off, before the quota of X amount of animals gets sold off. Because I've heard of such an aspect before, and that's with one of the private cooperatives here in Namibia. for example, for goats. You know, goat and sheep, goat and sheep farmers, goat and sheep producers. Now, remember, this is all for cattle. This discussion was based upon cattle only. But that's just one type of meat. We have fish, we've got pork, we've got mutton, we've got goat, then we've got game. Five kinds of protein, animal-based protein. Five kinds of animal-based protein. And I haven't even, that, you know, chicken is also there, but chicken is constant, you know, it depends. It truly depends. Whether it's brought in from South Africa or here in Namibia. But it still is an animal protein. Well, a chicken is technically not an animal. It's part of the kingdom of birds. The same for fish. Fish is part of the kingdom of fish. But it's five types of meat that we can access. Six, actually. Six. Now, you might ask me, you know, but Dwight, the notion is, you know, taking a look at how to sort out the beef, the cattle situation. Yeah, the beef, the cattle situation. But here's the thing. There's 2.5 million cattle, just as much as humans in this country. Second on to that is humans, us, the citizens, have so much choice. Now, that poses a different kind of competition. A different kind of competition. And this is even where two SOEs would somehow be competing with each other. Meatco is one. And the other one being the, you know, the fish consumption guys. Because they themselves are also, they have it in their mandate. If you go, guys, go on their websites. You can see for both SOEs, it is their mandate to promote the protein that they are in charge of, because fish is also a type of protein. Beef, obviously, a type of protein. So, in effect, we also have competing interests, competing kinds of food sources. So then that answers another kind of question. Because that's another kind of question that forms part of a socio-economic approach. Not just an economic and business-based approach, but a broader approach. A broader approach. Much of the discussion point, guys, is about, you know, how to sell off to foreign markets. But as you and I have just seen what has happened to Ukraine. Ukraine was the producer for Egypt, was the producer for various other kinds of countries, like the direct guys around them, the guys in the Baltic region, the guys in the Middle East. We are spoiled for choice. We are spoiled for choice, which is technically detrimental to the cattle farmer. Because the cattle producer, the cattle farmer, doesn't matter where you find yourself, whether in the southern part below the red line, whether you find yourself above the red line in the northern parts, is that you are competing with other meat sources. Other meat sources. The most widely distributed one is chicken. Just go to any supermarket. Go to any shop. Chicken is the most widely distributed one. Because, guys, you also need to factor in. Meat also needs to be worked in and processed even further. I go to a place like some of the spas here in Windhoek that have cold meat selections. Yeah. Cold meat selection, which is technically your polonies, various kinds of polonies, those other kinds of products which forms part of manufacturing, like Landjager, or Smokies, or Cabanossis, those kinds of things. That's, you know, further production, but you can obviously see that's just expanding you're offering within the meat, goat, mutton discussion. But there's fish. There's chicken. There's chicken. If people see beef is too expensive, they go buy chicken. They go buy chicken. Huh? So, the question here is, beef is seen as the premium meat product in the country. Beef is seen as the premium meat product because this is now based upon consumer perception. Because consumer perception is dependent upon negative and positive reactions. I grew up in a town, guys, where beef was cheap. Beef and goat meat were cheap. There was accessibility through the points of distribution, like community butcheries. I grew up in Rehoboth. Rehoboth has had a community. I don't know if they still have, but I had a community. They had a community of well-supplied butcheries. They processed their own cold meat. Their own cold meats. Cold meats is anything that looks like a bologna. Anything that looks like a bologna. They processed their own cold meats. They made it themselves. You could buy an entire carcass, or you could buy various pieces. Obviously now, somewhere between the 90s and now, the various market dynamics have taken place. And various reasons in terms of some of those butcheries, because the last time I was in Rehoboth was last year, was that some of them had either closed down, people had moved on, family members didn't want to take over, the business operations and just allowed it to just, die off. And you still find a handful of such distribution points being allowed. Now, in that same space, you did not just concentrate retail, meaning market availability through the major distribution points. You just did not concentrate everything through one point of access. Everyone could buy. And I suspect it could be one of the situations in some parts of the country. But everyone could buy. At one stage, there was a handful of farmers here from the Gobabis area that were trying to do their own meat processing, like, for example, biltong or chili bites. Well, it still is biltong. It still forms part of venison itself. And they also tried to develop their own types of markets, their own types of customer bases by selling directly to them, skipping middlemen, i.e. abattoirs and, entities like these major meat trading corporations like Meatco. Unfortunately, there's also a major factor to consider within meat trade, which has not done it a big service for the past 5 months, and that being price changes, because meat or livestock is not flown. They don't walk the cattle from their farm or from wherever to be sold here in Windhoek. They don't walk it. They have to drive it. Now, understandably, that is one of the major contributing factors to meat prices, to the potential market development, which producers like the northern producers can factor in. But we've got to understand also, it's a question just like what has happened with Namibian Diamonds, trying to indicate how or to tag in that line in terms of if a producer's here at the end, how can that producer see where their meat is being distributed or being sold? Or is it just being lumped together as one big category to tell everyone, listen, this is where you're being supplied. This is where your meat is going to. But that's for all of you in this area.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now guys, we get back from that short break and ultimately that signals the end of tonight's program here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And just to indicate to you that you can still find me tomorrow on the same time slots, that being for the brand conversation, first up in the day, and secondly, here on the same time slot, that being the business and economic zone, here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Once again, let's see each other again at that same time. Do stay warm, please, guys, do stay warm. And also, you know, just remember to celebrate the rest of the Africa Day here in the company of Eagle FM. On that note, adios.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633. Or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.